Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Hey y'all, it's Mark. I am pleased to report that today's episode of Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs is partially sponsored by Free Prints. And you know, you've probably got some great photos on your phone, but what are you actually doing with them? If you don't have Free Prints yet, you've got to get it, because it is an app for iPhone and Android that lets you print all of your photos for free. That is correct, for free. You get 1,000 4x6 photo prints a year. All you have to pay is shipping, and you can even print photos at other sizes for almost nothing. You can select the photos that you want, choose the sizes, you're done. All you have to do is get the app at freeprints.com and start enjoying real professional quality free prints. No subscriptions, no commitments, just free prints when you go to freeprints.com to get the app and those 1,000 free prints. And now, on with the show.
Shoot Mark and Sarah talk about songs.
Hello and welcome to episode number 216 of Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs, the only show where Mark and Sarah, well, do what's right there in the title. I am your co-host, Mark Blankenship, and with me, as ever, is my splendidatious co-host, Sarah D. Bunting. Hello, Sarah.
Do I need a splint for that condition? Hello, Mark.
I'm afraid that you do, and it's not covered by your insurance plan.
Yeah. America continuing to be the worst as we record this. So today we're talking about The Cult, a song called She Sells Sanctuary. I, Mark, will ask you to refresh my memory on one point in a moment, but here's another point of reference for why we're talking about this song. A big talking or discussion point on Twitter and in true crime review circles last year was the miniseries The Vow, which actually was not that mini. It kept going and going, about the NXIVM cult and two of the primary figures within that cult and sort of after their time in the cult, Mark and Sarah, Mark Vicente and Sarah Edmondson specifically. I don't think I had put that together, but someone called it out on Twitter like a month and a half ago, and we were like, oh yeah,
same.
We should talk about The Cult. And then wasn't The Cult one of the disputed bands that was left out of March Madness also?
Yes, it sure was.
So here we are, righting a wrong, but not leading a cult, we hope.
I don't think so.
No, I mean, one of the hallmarks of a cult is that you sort of, there's a specific argo that distances outsiders from it. So maybe in that way, we're kind of culty.
or just off-putting.
Yeah. I'd really like to talk to you about Dianetics.
I watched every second of The Vow, and never occurred to me once that we were there was a Mark and Sarah at play in that show.
Me neither. But I mean, I don't know. It's not like our names are Millicent and Percival. Like, it's
yeah.
You kind of don't even hear the name Sarah anymore. At least I don't. Like, in a room full of 100 women, roughly my age, 24 of us are going to be named Sarah.
Yeah, so. And then there's going to be 11 Jennifers. So,
At least Jessica, Stephanie.
And it's not like the time on Downton Abbey when there was a character named Sarah Bunting. Like, that, yeah. I noticed.
What's she doing here? Literally, the only reason I started watching Downton, and by the time she showed up, I was like, oh my God, this is so bad. This has gotten bad. Anyway.
Well, actually, now I'm sorry. I have to keep us off track for one more second. I didn't start watching Mad Men until pretty late in its run, and so I was playing a lot of catch-up. And so there was a period of time when so many people were like, hey, Miss Blankenship. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then I started watching Mad Men, and I realized, oh, the salty secretary is named Miss Blankenship. I see.
Yeah. And then she died at her desk.
She right? sure fucking did. And I guess I will too, provided that my desk is a yacht filled with oiled up, slightly hairy, golden Swedes.
Wow. That took a turn.
That was a very specific image that I've
actually
never contemplated
that,
before.
I mean, that was a very good segue handoff, though, in my opinion, because that's your sanctuary.
Yes.
That you're selling. What sanctuary is she selling in the song of the same name? Let's hear a clip. I'm really interested to hear your comments on the song because I feel like I'm going back and forth in terms of like whether I think it works or not. Never mind whether it's a song that I like. I don't know. Why don't you talk for a while and I'll try to let that guide my thoughts.
Well, first things first, is this song about a prostitute?
I assume.
I do too, because I had never heard it before until you brought it into this episode.
And I mean, I think I had, but as kind of a wallpapery experience, which is part of my struggle with it analysis-wise. But anyway, go on.
Yeah, so and then I realized, okay, wait, right. She sells sanctuary, meaning the sanctuary of having sex and being desired and acting on my desires. She sells it to me. And the people, there's all these lyrics about, I can feel people burning me as they with their eyes as they stare at us, but I don't care because I've got to have you, baby. It's like, okay.
So, I mean, I think the other interpretation is that the she is heroin or some other drug of addiction. Yeah.
Well, either way, something illicit. But I agree with your word choice of wallpaper. This song, as I'm listening to it in the moment, I like it. And I think, oh, I'm enjoying this. This is good. But I struggle to remember it the second that it's over.
Yeah. I mean, I have a similar problem. But I mean, I think it's worth noting that the snip you just heard is basically the whole song. Like,
yeah.
I don't feel like there's anything narratively missing that was not heard in the clip. The song also never quite gets going. Like, there's no change in texture. There's no terrain, as I have said about other songs before. I like the sound. I like the guitar line, but I feel like I liked it more when Romeo Void did it, or when the Stone Roses did it. And,
or honestly, Sunday Bloody Sunday era U2 did it.
Yep. And here's my final thing that is really making me struggle to talk about this song. And I don't know if you agree with me. I feel like the lead singer's delivery and timbre don't go with this style of music. Like something is not matching up. Like, if you're watching the video especially, it's like a bit disconcerting because here is like literally the If They Made It result of Captain Jack Sparrow and Freddie Mercury, which is like not totally displeasing in theory if you subtract the depth aspect of it. But like, so there's that, and then there's the sort of Flock of Seagulls presentation of the rest of the band, and the like the sound is very, it just like mid 80s alt, which is fine. Like I love that, but then his voice is it belongs in a different band or a different subgenre or something. Like something is not matching up for me. And
I think that you have hit this perfectly on the head, this scarfed nail.
Yeah. But it's like, why is Steven Tyler's goth kid? He like, what is this, a project, school project? Like, why are we, what is happening?
Angie's List is now Angie, and caring for your home just got easier. Whether you need help with routine maintenance or a dream remodel, Angie makes it easy to see reviews, compare quotes, and connect with top local pros who can get the job done right. Plus, you can see upfront pricing and instantly book hundreds of projects. No phone tag, just the work you need done at a time that works for you. Angie's got your to-do list covered from start to finish. Book your next home project today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
I have a friend who describes, who once described someone as being, quote, dressed like Steven Tyler's mic stand. And this is that also. What I'm hearing you say, and honestly, I hadn't thought about this before, but I just want to repeat it back to you because I think you're exactly right. This is a glam rock voice in an alt rock song.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And he seems, maybe this is purposeful, and maybe this is part of that he's sort of trying to sell the idea of Sanctuary as like it's actually a double-edged sword and you're actually imprisoned by whatever it is, a dead-end, quote, relationship with a sex worker, China White, whatever is actually being spoken of. And listeners, forgive my ignorance if, like, this is, quote, something that everyone knows what the song is about. But that he seems, like, confined. Like, that's the part of what I was saying earlier about there not being sort of an emotional narrative terrain here.
Yes.
That it's, like, it does seem, given both the topic and the qualities of his voice, that, like, where's the belt? Where's the whale? Because we're waiting, and he seems to be waiting for the moment to do it. And then he's like, oh, right, I'm an indie musician and we have to act like we don't give a shit and be all Gen X about it. Like, I don't know.
And what's so confusing is that he's making this music as contemporaneously to all of those other bands that we were just talking about. Like, New Year's Day by U2 was a song that existed. Bono had sort of pointed the way to how you can put a very theatrical crescendo in a song like this, that sounds like this. NXS's right. early music was out in the world at this time. And I agree with you that it seems like this song, if it's about someone who makes you feel free and safe and gives you at least a moment of sanctuary, no matter what the world tells you, why does the musical identity of the song only have one idea? I mean, I know I'm just repeating you, but it's exactly right.
And right.
If there were just something happening where even like, some liftoff would be great. And I think that if he were singing in this constricted sort of cocksure posturing way, it's just so striking to me that he doesn't have that crescendo when the music of U2 from this period was demonstrating that that crescendo was in fact possible, when early NXS was demonstrating that. And for someone who has a glam rock voice, he doesn't seem to put a lot of performance in it. It's that's not quite true, because obviously he's singing the song with a certain type of passion, but I think it might be
yeah
like
but
what
this
you
is
said.
What I mean, like, he seems almost like he's holding that back, but then it's like, for what? Like, shouldn't there be a point around 2.5 minutes in where the ragged tiger is unleashed?
Because this song supposedly is about someone who makes you feel free from the judgment of the world, that you feel safe with her, even though what she's offering you might be illicit. So where is that in the song? And I think that the nice open guitar sound that we get, that's very pleasing, that's a great start, But because the song doesn't go anywhere from that, like you've said, then it's hard to hold on to this song. It's hard to retain it. And it is like the kind of song that, well, I learned in my research that this song has been featured in the soundtrack of a lot of video games. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is makes sense to me because it's not the kind of song that will distract you from the gameplay, but it does generally fit the wash of driving a car that you've stolen in Grand Theft Auto or whatever.
Right, right. I mean, again, this is not like an unpleasant song and I'm not angry with it. I just spent a lot of time, like I just kept pausing it while I was listening to it and being like, why are we still, like, why is there that video game or cartoon aspect of like that cactus already went by? Why aren't we progressing?
Right.
Anywhere. And by the same token, if this is about like genuinely a safe place versus a safe place that may belie danger, right? Then why do we start at this pitched place instead of starting at a gentler place and just staying there and describing, you know, like either the danger is the subject, in which case you have to progress. You have to have that liftoff, like you said. But if it's not, and if what you're saying is like, you know, you're my home and this is a ballad about the world of two, then you can't sound like someone is literally holding you back by the collarbone to prevent you from like putting some Adam Lambert on this shit, which is like, this song needs some Adam Lambert, in my opinion, to be an right. all-time classic. As it is, it's merely whatever it is. That like it's a sound, and it's been interesting to think about why I don't like it more, but
yeah, it's not a classic. It's a passable entry in a very identifiable genre of alternative 80s rock.
Yeah, I think that's about it. I will not be joining this cult. No, brand for me. Sorry.
I was just going to make the same joke. I will not be branding the phrase "she sells sanctuary," parentheses, Allison Mack forever, anywhere on my body.
That's really a relief to have that articulated out loud. Thank you.
Sidebar, because I'll probably never again have a chance to organically mention this in an episode of this podcast. I once ate Thai food with Allison Mack while I was interviewing her about an off-Broadway play that she was in, and I have now realized that she was in the thick of all of this while we had that Thai food, and we talked about her play, and I think back on it, and I think, did she give me any indication? She certainly didn't try to get me into the cult at the end of the interview, but I just think, were there signs that I would have seen if I had known what I was looking for? But again, we'll never know. Just like we'll never know what Nikki was doing with that magazine exactly, we'll never know.
But we'll know this. If Adam Lambert remakes this song, we will be among the first to download it. So get on that, Lambie.
In 2021, Alison Krauss can take a break. We're giving Adam Lambert all of the jobs.
Yeah, fucking A.
All this talk of getting old, it's getting me down, my love.
Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs is hosted by Mark Blankenship, that's me, and Sarah D. Bunting.
That's me. I also edit the podcast, which is a proud member of the Bleav Network. Learn more at bleav.com.
To learn more about us, submit song requests, get a pop chart reading, or buy a Mastis book, visit our website at markandsarahtalkaboutsongs.com. You'll also find all of our social media links there, too.
That's Mark and Sarah, with an H, talkaboutsongs.com. And for even more content and access the Mastass Happy Hour, become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/mastass.
Thanks for listening.
It just make you worse, but I know I'll see your face again. But I know I'm on the loose and street as I pass down my old street. And if you want a show, then just let me know and I'll sing in your ear again.
Shoot Mark and Sarah talk about Shoot Mark and Sarah talk about Shoot Mark and Sarah talk about songs.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.